Hey, Roros, do you ever call up Royally Obsessed on Alexa?
It's one of the easiest ways to listen to the pod. You can hear our latest episode every week there, thanks to Amazon Music, which has a full catalog of podcasts, including Royally Obsessed.
All you have to do is say, Alexa, play Royally Obsessed on Amazon Music. Oh no, mine is listening to me say that right at this moment.
A royal reminder, new episodes drop every Thursday. Tune in on Amazon Music. Now, on to the show. Hey, Roros, it's Roberta. So we wanted to let you know that we had already recorded our episode when the news broke regarding the bullying allegations against Meghan Markle and the statement from the Duchess of Sussex. We don't really feel like we have enough time to react to the news in this episode, given our time constraints, but you will hear our thoughts in next week's episode when we can properly assess all the information. With that, here's today's show. Enjoy!
Please rise for their majesties of Royally Obsessed, the podcast for all things royals.
Stand by! Three cheers for Her Majesty the Queen!
And we're back. Welcome back to Royally Obsessed. I'm Roberta.
And I'm Rachel.
And it's time for your weekly update on the royal news you need to know.
Quick interruption. Should we be changing this to daily update? There's so much royal news lately.
Oh my gosh. I was going to say particularly just about the James Corden.
We needed like by the minute updates. I just wanted to dissect that, but we'll get into it.
Yeah. A couple of royal reminders as always. Follow us on Instagram at Royally Obsessed Podcast and join the Facebook group Royally Obsessed. You can also subscribe to the podcast and leave us a royal rating. Pretty please. Send us an email at info@gallerypodcasts.com. Huh. Rachel, how are you?
I'm good. I'm just like, I cannot wait to get into everything we have to talk about today. It's just, I feel like the royals are on fire right now. It's really exciting. There's so much stuff that we can't wait to talk about with you all.
And I feel like so much coming up as well. The Super Bowl of our lives is coming up on Sunday.
Yeah. That's such a perfect way
Oprah
to put it.
TV special.
It is the Super Bowl for Royals fans. Yeah. How was your weekend though? Did you catch the Golden Globes?
So I did not watch. Oh. I looked at recaps and loved all the Crown cast members and what they wore. That was really fun. But did you watch?
I did. I am such a Golden Globes addict. It's been my favorite awards show for decades. And I love it. But this year was weird. It was just,
they really tried.
And with everyone being remote, there was something, I mean, we saw the Emmys. I don't feel like it was as glitchy as the Emmys did a better job, I think, than the Golden Globes for some reason. Tina Fey and Amy Poehler were a dream though. I loved their sort of dual coast, you know, bi-coastal hosting. Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
But yeah, it was awesome to see the Crown just dominate. And I love, you know, I feel like especially Josh O'Connor for me, I just think he's so darling.
And Gillian Anderson, I was so, so happy for all of them.
Emma Corrin, like, yeah.
That was the most fun for me, was seeing what they wore and seeing what everyone wore. I feel like even like Cynthia Erivo, some of the outfits were just so incredible. Yeah. So even when they were home, it was great. But I did love the Tina and Amy banter and saying like, who needs award shows these days anyway? Like just was hilarious. So.
I know. Well, I bet since you didn't watch live, one of the things that you missed was a little Bridgerton nod, but it was this very bizarro bit that where actors were consulting virtual doctors about, they were being diagnosed based on the film that they were watching. And one of the actors, I don't even remember who it was like, I'm feeling all hot and bothered. And the doctor was like, you're experiencing Bridgerton. It's going around. It was so
funny. My gosh. That's
amazing.
It just
amazing. Like made me laugh because it's like we all feel so many things with these shows. We need a diagnosis.
Well, Nicola Coughlin posted a wonderful Instagram of I guess they did like the elevator doors opening like they do every year. And she was writing with a quill and then the elevator doors closed and she threw – it was so cute. She's just
– oh, my God.
Adorable.
I love that. Isn't that InStyle that does that? I love that.
Yeah.
Well, we have so much to talk about on this episode. First, we're digging into Prince Harry's 17-minute-long interview on The Late Late Show with James Corden. It was the delight of the week last week.
Honestly, not long enough in our opinion.
Yeah, not long enough. We could get more, Harry, please. We also have updates. We're following along. Obviously, we're recording this on Tuesday, just tracking Prince Philip's health. We're very worried, as I'm sure you all are. We have news, Cambridge news from Prince William, Kate, and the Queen, all promoting the jab. And that and so much more coming up.
But we always leave time for a royal refreshment.
And now it's time for the weekly royal cocktail.
Cheers! What are you sipping? I have a little wine glass.
I do too. I have Cake Bread Cellars Sauvignon Blanc.
Ooh.
It's delicious.
I poured myself a crisp Chardonnay. It's actually a really, it's not, I don't typically love Chardonnay, but this one's actually a little bit more in the Sauvignon Blanc family. I feel like it's lighter. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I'm ready for summer and white wine and rosé season to finally be here. So while we are sipping, I wanted to read a lovely reader email. Leah wrote, "Hello, Roberta and Rachel. I'm a devoted Roro and look forward to your podcast every week. I was so excited to hear about Harry and Meghan's pregnancy, but honestly, the first thing I thought of when I heard the news was the podcast. Listening to Royally Obsessed is like catching up with old friends. My husband was so glad when I started listening to y'all because now I have someone else to talk to about all things royal. Yes, I talk back like you guys can hear me." Love that. Anyway, I just wanted to say I love your podcast and the detail and grace you always give to each topic discussed. Thanks for always brightening my day. Leah Murray in Tennessee.
I love that. I feel like she should zoom in with us. We can talk. That's so funny. I feel like I do that with podcasts too. Like I was going to say in real time.
Yep.
So good.
Yep.
All right. Well, this week in royal history.
And now, this week in royal history.
I feel like this is very appropriate given all that's going on. But February 28th, 2018, so this was about 3 years ago now, but 2 years before Harry and Meghan officially announced that they were leaving their roles as senior royals, we saw Harry and Meghan join Kate and William for the inaugural Royal Foundation Forum, which was aptly titled Making a Difference Together. Do you remember this, Roberta?
Yes, I do.
Kate was pregnant with Prince Louis.
That was like the Fab Four, like really was like hitting the spotlight.
Those were all the headlines. Yeah, yeah. Totally. Yeah. So it was only 3 years ago, which is crazy.
Wow.
So the Royal Foundation Forum was meant to be the umbrella organization for Kate and William and Harry and Meghan to all have their different causes, you know, kind of housed within. And this was originally established in 2009. So Meghan would become an official patron as upon her wedding, because remember, this was 2018 in February. So as of May 2018, once she wed Harry, she would also become the fourth patron of this foundation. William at the time remarked after this forum, I loved this quote, "We're particularly happy that it's our first Royal Foundation Forum with Meghan." So, you know, I think it all went really well. I mean, you watched the four of them together. It was a really warm conversation about all the things that they were really passionate about. And at the time, the foundation was focusing primarily on armed forces, supporting the armed forces, young people, wildlife conservation, and mental health. And Meghan, during this panel, also really added to the fact that she wanted to focus on her passion for women's empowerment. And that was really an important cause for her. So
I remember them kind of asking her pretty tough questions and her really stepping up to the plate and being so thoughtful about the way she answered. And I think is such an important message from her too, because she really was taking this job so seriously. And even before she was technically officially involved, you know, they talk about during that conversation, she says like, well, you know, after 3 months from now, while we're busy planning our wedding, like, I just think that she was still so ready to hit the ground running. And that was,
and the headlines were all like, oh, she mentioned the wedding. Like, I think it was just such a different, you know, it's like so much has happened since then. But in particular, the reporter, the person running the panel, asked a very poignant question now. You know, it's easy looking back. It's about working together as a family, and do they ever have disagreements?
I think it's really good that we've got, you know, four different personalities, and, you know, we've all got that same passion to want to make a difference, but, you know, different opinions, and I think those opinions work really, really well. Working as family does have its challenges. Of course it does. Everybody here, the fact that everyone's laughing means that everybody knows exactly what it's like. But look, you know, we're stuck together for the rest of our lives, so.
This is true.
Togetherness at its finest.
Togetherness, yeah.
It's just crazy hearing it now, right, Roberta?
It's so wild, especially, you know, them laughing it off when you think what we know and how that relationship kind of devolved. I think it's not a laughing matter anymore. And those differences that they mentioned didn't get worked out. It seems like, you know, they say they celebrate that there's four different people working together towards the same common goal, but that, you know, it's good to have these differences because it can kind of push the envelope, I think they mentioned. But we now know that it didn't really work out that way, and the differences couldn't be resolved. I don't think that's all, I guess. That's my thought.
Well, I think for me, I think maybe this is just sort of like aiming to be a little too optimistic, but I do want to think, like, focus on the fact that a lot has evolved over the course of 2 years. And so many people want to blame Meghan. But I look at it as it's just an evolution as William and Harry carve their own paths. Like, I think, you know, it's like the minute you get married, it's not about someone kind of creating a division. It's more about your immediate, the center, who you think of as your immediate family really shifts and you really come into your own. So I think for me, even though the timeline of this has been so rapid, it kind of feels like the natural growing pains of two brothers finding their own way. I mean, but again, that's being really optimistic. I'm just hopeful that maybe a few years from now, we'll all look back at this and be like, you know what? They did find their own way and they're okay.
That's way too optimistic. No, I think hindsight's 2022, and like, but the main subject of their answer is not the wives or how that has changed anything, but that Harry and William are, you know, our brothers butting heads. And I think they, you know, kind of laugh it off and the audience laughs, like, and Harry's like, anyone who knows, you know, about family knows that this is kind of a tricky territory and whatever, and sibling rivalry and all that. But I just think that it always was about Harry and William.
It always was. It was a story concocted by the press that it would be all on Meghan.
Exactly.
Yeah, totally. Anyways, I just, you know, it's especially relevant with everything that's going on.
All right. Up next, the Fresh Prince of Montecito.
Totally.
This made our week, our month, and even our year. I think I'm speaking for us both, but I do feel like we feel the same way about how wonderful this clip was, and I've watched it so many times now. What about you?
Well, I was going to say, I actually, for some reason, was completely out to lunch on the fact that it was airing last week. Like, did we get any heads up about that?
I don't think so. So James Corden, they aired it on Thursday, the Late Late Show at night, and it was a surprise to wake up to Friday. I woke up to it. Did you?
Yeah, I woke up to it. Okay. And I was all you ro-ros are all like 7 a.m. DMs.
So for anyone who hasn't watched, I mean, come on. What
we've
are you
all watched.
For?
Yeah. No one listening to this has not watched.
Right, right. So the clip with James Corden that was teased about a month ago, I believe, featuring Prince Harry for Carpool Karaoke, was on a double-decker open-top bus, his tour of LA, traveling, as James Corden said, quote, in the style of a native Angelino, which I loved. Favorite moments? Rachel.
Oh my gosh, Roberta, there are so many. Something controversial, I'm going to say James Corden. I'm starting it off with James Corden because I just want to nod to that. I mean, Carpool Karaoke is always such a delight. And I think that he just proved his skill to the nth degree for me as he transitioned from the top of the double-decker bus, you know, to the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air house. And then, you know, to the military course, the Spartan race. I think he just really handled it all. I loved that him and Harry were kind of dressed the same. Did you notice that? It was like very – that was that planned?
Yeah. No, TVT to when I was like, oh, it's an Invictus polo because it's black. No, it's just a matching black polo. But that was – that could have been planned.
Yeah. And I also loved the moment where he was assessing casting for Harry on like when they were talking. And he was like, I could play Prince William. I just loved that little aside. Yeah. That was hilarious to me.
The only mention of Prince William, by the way, and not in an interest, like no kind of reaction from Harry at all, really.
Yeah.
So that was really interesting. But I loved, so I'll go through a couple
favorites. Yes, please.
Moments.
I want to hear all of your favorites. Let's reminisce.
So Harry, when he's getting on, he goes, you know, royals don't carry cash, which is just like, it's aimed at so many people saying that that's like, oh, they're nothing like us. They don't carry cash, which is just, I don't know. It's really funny that he called
but
that
out.
But
already right away, we were like hooked in. We're getting a lot of stuff out of this. Like this is already, a lot of tea spilled.
And literal tea, because my next favorite moment was the tea cart crashing. And Harry having to be bleeped out because he cussed, because he was
that? That wasn't staged. There was no way to stage that, right?
No, I don't. And I think there was no way also to cut it out. Because, like, it just was such, like, a quick moment, and it, like, it, you just couldn't have edited it.
Well, and you saw the producer, their feet flew in the air, too.
Yes,
like, everyone was surprised by that on the 405. I thought that was great.
Yes.
And his little line about, like, royalty on the 405 and why that wasn't a good idea anymore.
Oh, yeah, Harry's going to host that. I loved the Archie revelations about the waffle maker from the Queen. Does the Queen have Amazon Prime? Is she ordering waffle makers to Santa Barbara? I mean, sounds like the answer is yes, definitive yes. Harry singing Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Amazing. That was gold.
In West Philadelphia.
Born and raised on the playground.
There we go. He did it so much better.
Yeah, so much better.
When he had to use the toilet of the residence of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air mansion.
Yeah.
Hilarious. And he sticks his head out the window.
If I'm not out in 5 minutes, come rescue me.
I loved that. And they were really starstruck too. I would be freaking out.
Hilarious moment.
Because both, it seems like they had two sons maybe, and they both came out and they were like, had their phones out as they were leaving, like taking pictures. I just thought that was all of us.
Amazing.
FaceTiming with Megan, the nickname Has. James Corden saying, Megan, all right, love. And Harry's like, all right, love, that's my wife. Hot Harry. I mean, come on, this is like,
whoa.
Reminder, what a thirst trap Harry is, first of all.
The memes that were going around. Yeah, it was great.
Zooming with the queen, all the insights. Prince Philip, you know, slamming the laptop shut after a Zoom, very on brand for him.
I actually felt good about myself in that moment, and also maybe a touch embarrassed, because I sometimes do that too with a meeting. I like just close it, and I now realize that that's weird because Harry flagged it as weird.
Or on the opposite end of the spectrum of like, I cannot get out of the meeting. Like, I can't find the end button. And so I'm the last one, and it's so bad.
That is awkward too. That is really
Zoom
weird.
You're like, you have to laugh at yourself or else you'll cry.
Yeah.
Then the serious moment. So we want to get into the serious moment. So James Corden asks Harry when he knew Meghan was the one. And he said by the second date, it was 0 to 60, really quick. I love that he talked about how when you're dating a royal, it's backwards. So you kind of are very private at first because you can't really reveal that you are, in fact, dating.
Mm-hmm.
Or you want to keep it under wraps as long as possible.
I liked that moment too. Yeah.
That like, and then your dating life becomes public, and then you can kind of do the things that typical people do on dates, which mm-hmm. go to the cinema, go out to eat, things like that. So I thought that was really insightful.
And it does also – for me, I think that it informs a lot of why it went from 0 to 60 so fast, because when you are just one-on-one at home, it's going to be a lot more intimate than if you're out and having all these distractions, you're out with friends, like those kinds of things. If he can't have that as the typical build-up to a relationship, it is going to move faster.
Right. And Harry says, like, the first 2 months, like,
yeah, he knew.
They're in love. Yeah. So it was really interesting. Then James Corden, he doesn't ask if Harry watches The Crown. He asks what he feels about The Crown.
And how do you feel about The Crown? They don't pretend to be news. It's fictional. But it's loosely based on the truth.
Yes.
Of course it's not strictly accurate.
Of course it's not.
But loosely.
But you do think loosely it does feel
it
like...
It gives you a rough idea about what that lifestyle and what the pressures of putting duty and service above family and everything else, what can come from that. I'm way more comfortable with The Crown than I am seeing the stories written about my family or my wife or myself. Because it's the difference between that is obviously fiction, take it how you will, but this is being reported on as fact because you're supposedly news.
Yeah.
I have a real issue with that.
It's kind of a bombshell because I think, one, we don't assume that Harry and Meghan watched The Crown, so now we have confirmation of that, but also loosely based on the truth, you know, this is kind of how things turned out. He has intimate knowledge of what went down during this, I guess, a little bit later than The Crown shows in this season in particular. But I do think that, you know, it's pretty interesting to hear him say it's loosely based in truth when there's been so much talk about the disclaimer from Netflix about, you know, so many people's feathers were ruffled about this season in particular and its portrayal of Diana and Charles and the their relationship. So I was surprised.
Yeah, it does kind of, you know, flip the script for me. You know, we're all so used to consuming these completely out there non-truthful headlines about the royal family. And Harry's point is that The Crown admits that it's fiction. And, you know, at least we have that. I think that that was really important and valid hearing from him. I also, because we had the Golden Globes, you know, talking, going back to the beginning of the episode, but like, you know, a lot of, I think Gillian Anderson was asked about this when, like, not the interviews that aired when they accepted their award, but she said that she was really pleased to hear and called Harry fairly well qualified to judge what's fact and fiction. And she had a quote that she was really grateful that he understood what Peter was trying to do, Peter Morgan. So mm-hmm. I think just, you know, having Harry talk about this and acknowledge that he's watching, but also just make that comparison was really interesting.
Yeah, I totally agree. And then one last clip we're going to play from the James Corden special, although I wish we could play all 17 minutes on this one.
Let's just air the whole thing.
Right. Is when, and this might actually be kind of the climax of it all, is James Corden asks Harry, you know, what did you feel, how did you feel about stepping down from your royal duties?
It's such a monumental decision to have walked away from the royal family. Why did you feel that that was necessary and the right thing to do for you and your family?
It was never walking away. It was stepping back rather than stepping down.
Right.
You know, it was a really difficult environment, as I think a lot of people saw. We all know what the British press can be like. And it was destroying my mental health. I was
really?
Like, this is toxic.
Yeah.
So I did what any husband and what any father would do, is like, I need to get my family out of here. But we never walked away. And as far as I'm concerned, whatever decisions are made on that side, I will never walk away. I will always be contributing. But my life is public service. So wherever I am in the world, it's going to be the same thing.
I think that clarification from Harry is so, so important. He was stepping back, not stepping down. So I know that I've said the wrong thing before, but I feel like stepping back to me signals that they wanted to work something out as a hybrid model. And, you know, whatever he says, whatever was decided, we will always live a life of public service, but that they really did have hope that something could be worked out and it wasn't.
Mm-hmm. But I also feel like, it, you know, in tandem with the mentions of the Queen and his relationship with Prince Philip and the fact that they're Zooming, I think that he was able to give sort of a statement in the context of a really fun interview about what he intended to do. But he also kind of nodded to the warmth that the warm relationship he still has with his grandparents. I think that mentioning mm-hmm. them so just – he mentioned them in a way that just felt very casual and very open. And I think that it – shows how much they're still in touch and that the relationship, the family part of it is still there. And I think that was interesting.
It's truly like two separate, you know, it's two separate worlds because mm-hmm. it's family and then it's duty. Mm-hmm. And I think as a family, they will always be there for each other. You know, the Queen said they are much loved members of my family. They will always be, he will always be her grandson. But as far as duty, I think it does sound like he might have been a little disappointed about yeah. the way that, you know, the narrative has kind of been shown now to say that he was stepping down. I don't think that was what he wanted, but you're right. I think, you know, he keeps those worlds so separate in his mind. It's his family. And then, you know, down the line, it's the job. And mm-hmm. so the job didn't work out, but they are still, you know, they're still so close. So.
But how nice to hear these words from Harry himself. I think that's one of the biggest challenges sometimes for anyone covering the royals, but also just in general, all of us, we hear it from like a palisade, from this person, from someone, so-and-so, a royal, you know, like I think yeah. it's just nice to hear him versus a game of telephone. Just answer the question.
Well, and what's, if this is the first yeah. kind of big interview with Prince Harry, like what else is going to come out? Like, I mean, that perfectly segues into our next topic, which is the Oprah interview coming up this Sunday. So Gayle King on Friday revealed on CBS This Morning that she's heard from reliable sources, this is Oprah talking, that it's the best interview she's ever done.
If my microphone wasn't on a mic stand, mic drop. Like, I just, that's so cheesy. I feel like that's high praise, you know? That's a huge statement to make. Oprah.
Huge. So the two previews aired on Sunday. They kind of stole the thunder from the Golden Globes, which the poor Golden Globes are struggling. They aired on Sunday and they build anticipation. You know, there's a lot of hype around these clips, but Meghan isn't talking at all. It's actually just Harry and Oprah. So here's one of those moments.
Were you silent or were you silenced? I just want to make it clear to everybody, there is no subject that's off limits.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
There's also a clip of Harry talking about Diana. He said it felt like history repeating itself. Diana had to go through this process by herself. They also mention Meghan's quote about it being unsurvivable. This is, as we said, this is the Super Bowl of royal fans. Like, this is
I'm nervous. Are you nervous?
I'm really nervous.
I don't know why I feel that way, but I think I just so desperately want the kids to all be all right. It's more for me about William and Harry than anything. Like, I just really want I'm hopeful that this interview is the beginning of their process to heal, which I believe is already ongoing, even though there's friction still. I think I'm hopeful that that is, you know.
Do you think the palace is nervous?
I go back and forth, honestly, because I think that they obviously have so much going on with Prince Philip right now. They, you know, duty above all else, which doesn't always serve them the best. I'm curious how tuned in they are to this. I know that there's also a lot of, you know, coverage from like the tabloids, which I don't, you know, it's, you know, take it with a grain of salt, but it's, you know, a lot of people are saying, how could Harry and Meghan allow this to air right now when Prince Philip is in the hospital? But honestly, I doubt they have any control, you know?
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, they have no control over this. You know, it's been set up way in advance.
Right.
It's really tough.
Yeah. I wanted to point out Meghan's outfit, Giorgio Armani Georgette dress with a lotus flower, which has symbolically meant rebirth, purity. Her shoes are also named the Purist, Aquazura, I believe.
Oh,
the
interesting.
Purist,
yeah.
Which isn't purity. I don't know. And then an aquamarine Colette necklace, which features four little pendants for their maybe family of four. I don't know. Reading into this,
so
I'm not
pretty too.
I'm not a royal fashion expert, but I do love this stuff. She also wore Diana's tennis bracelet, which we've seen her wear before. I thought the interesting part was some of the jewelry is by Pippa Small, and it's the Georgette dress. George, Pippa.
Oh, I like
Kate
what you
Middleton.
Did there.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a stretch.
I like that.
But I didn't really know how to feel about the dark eyeliner. Really dark. And especially if this is something that's going to get emotional. It sounds like it will. Like, will it smear? Will it run?
That's a good question.
I don't know.
I mean, I feel like it was the first thing you noticed and I noticed, I think, was just how, you know, it really was
intense.
That's the first place you look is her eyes, which is a direct mirror of Diana's Panorama interview. I mean, Diana had very dark eyeliner going all the way around her eye. So is it a nod to that? I don't know.
Yeah, it's going to be wild. So
I don't know. I'm so nervous. I got to get my cable all set up, ready to watch.
I am too.
Well, subject change, flipping gears, Cambridge news. We were going to, you know, give the Sussexes a quick break and a totally different subject. Kate and William were actually promoting the vaccine. I think that the million-dollar question that I think is on my mind, I don't know if you're thinking about it, is will Kate and William get vaccinated publicly? Like, will we have a video or a photo that pops up on their Kensington Royal Instagram account showing them actually getting the jab? What do you think, Roberta?
I think so. I think there's such a push for young people to get the vaccine. And I know for Britain, they're doing it in brackets. So there's going to be, I think it's like 30 to 39, 40 to 49. So there's those age groups. And I think they really, really want to. I think it would be amazing, though, and such a wonderful show of leadership from them. But as we know, I feel like he didn't reveal that he even had coronavirus back in April. So I feel like they're super, super private about that stuff. Maybe they won't.
Yeah, who knows? But I do think that they are taking such a firm stance. I mean, so we know that Charles and Camilla just recently got their first shot in early February. And the interesting part is that the royals are all following the protocol. They're waiting until it's their age category. There's no special treatment going on. But I think what I think is awesome is Kate and William are certainly taking a stance on the matter of the importance of trusting science, the importance of getting the vaccine. They've even updated their Instagram bio link that takes you to the vaccine sign up. So that there's no other link in their bio right now. It just goes straight to that. But so on their latest Zoom, which I recommend that everyone watch the full thing just because the two women that they – one was a family and then there was Fiona was the other mom of that they chatted with. And they were both just so delightful and funny and really had a lot of things that were interesting to hear. But they both had pre-existing conditions. And so one had asthma, the other had diabetes or type 2 diabetes. And they talked about their plans to get the vaccine. And I want to, you know, William really makes it clear, this statement. I want you to listen to this.
Catherine and I are not medical experts by any means. But if it's any consolation, we can wholeheartedly support, you know, having vaccinations. It's really, really important. We've spoken to a lot of people about it, and you know, the uptake's been amazing so far. We've got to keep it going so that the younger generations also feel, you know, that it's really important for them to have it. So it's great that you're, you know, Shivani, you're taking your time to kind of work it out and I've come to a conclusion that, you know, I need to do this, because social media is awash sometimes with lots of rumors and misinformation. So we have to be a little bit careful who we believe and where we get our information from.
So they're really laying the stake in the ground about the validity of the vaccine. I mean, this is that's why I think that maybe we will see a photo of it happening for them. I think that it would be a very big royal first to have something medical happening like that. But this Zoom in particular is interesting to watch. And like I said, I really did like Fiona, this mom. She was just like, I think my GP hates me now because of all the like million questions she's had during the pandemic, which made me feel like, you know, all of us. And then she was also talking about how it's not that, you know, I think a lot of people think that once they get the vaccine, they can instantly go out and like, to return to old life. And she's like, I'm not going to go out and lick lampposts. Like it was pretty funny. But also I think, you know, there's a part in the clip where Kate and William flip and they start talking to Fiona's daughter specifically and asking her about her experience with school. And Kate and William just so come alive when they are speaking with kids. I think that they, you know, they're very serious and professional when they're doing the interviews with the grownups. But then when they're starting to ask, you know, chat about school and what the pros and cons of pandemic learning are, they just completely relax. And I think that that's really nice to see.
I thought it was a nice insight too, kind of behind the scenes look that we see them with pages of notes under the computer.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
So in the Instagram too, and I'm so kind of surprised they even left it in the picture, but the notes on each person, just similar to how like in that poetry session that Meghan and Harry did, they read up on the bios of everyone beforehand and had to ask really thoughtful questions. And I'm sure Kate and William are doing the same.
Also, Kate's wearing a bodysuit. Did you see this ID?
I was just going to say, can we talk about the
link.
Deep V?
It was a
Which link?
There's a link right in the rundown about this, but I feel like it is.
Is it the designer link or the?
Top is a bodysuit.
Top is a bodysuit.
So basically,
Well, you'll have to scroll down. This seems scandalous for a Dutch.
No, but this is what's fascinating, and it makes me want to change all my button-down tops, is basically it makes it so that it's a perfect tuck-in without having to navigate the tuck-in.
Oh, my gosh.
This is genius. Incredible. It's a shirt bodysuit by Holland Cooper. And I was like, Kate, of course, got this right. Like, that makes so much sense. That's why it looks so, you know, just perfectly draped when she's on Zoom. It's not bunching. Yep. It's not doing any of that. It's a bodysuit. So I thought that was fascinating.
And no bulging like in your skirt or pants or anything. That is really amazing.
Yeah.
It has like nice like button details too that you don't
gorgeous.
See. It has like shoulder.
I think it's like $170, something like that. You know, we also heard from the Queen this week. She talked about, you know, the vaccine is clearly on everyone's mind. She spoke about her experience getting the jab. We know she's had the first and second shot, said it was very quick, and added this statement that it's rather difficult for people if they've never had a vaccine, but they ought to think of other people rather than themselves. That was pretty like shade thrown, right? Like
what a massive slap on the wrist by the monarch to everyone.
Yeah.
She's like, can't you think of someone else other than yourself? And you're like, yes, Queen.
Yeah,
yes.
I mean, she doesn't normally get that, you know, personal. And she said it so quickly, you know, listen to her commentary way if you go back. But it is, I thought it was interesting. So moving on to our highs and lows. We're already at our highs and lows, Roberta.
And we have a joint low this week because it is so serious. So
it's time for the royal highs and lows.
Rachel, take it away.
No, I mean, just the fact that Prince Philip is still in the hospital. I think that, you know, we're for sure, we record this on Tuesday. I want to just emphasize that, but we're really following along. And the update from Buckingham Palace that he was transferred to St. Bartholomew's Hospital to continue treatment for an infection, but also for testing and observation related to a pre-existing heart condition. So the palace says that he remains comfortable. He's responding to treatment, but I'm very worried.
I'm worried too. What worried me most is that St. Bartholomew's is specializing in heart conditions, and also I think they do a lot of cancer research, but specifically that this could be an infection related to his heart or cardiac. I have no idea. I don't know anything about medical things, but what gives me hope and keeps me optimistic is the Queen hasn't visited yet, which I think would be, you know, really high up on the agenda if it was something very serious. So I'm hoping that, and because she's gotten both vaccines, it would be okay for her to do so, both shots, I mean. So that's giving me hope. But
yeah,
what do you think?
No, I think it's just hard because it's been 2+ weeks. But I think I feel optimistic purely from updates that we get sort of sprinkled throughout from the family. Like, you know, William gave us a little, like he's responding to treatment. Edward, I think, has given us an update. So, you know.
Yeah, Edward said he was getting better. Yeah. Which is actually like a pretty big admission.
I think that was a week ago. Yeah. So we're following along, but that's definitely just a low.
But I mean, even just now at 2 weeks, more than 2 weeks that he's been admitted and could be for more, you know, for 3 weeks following. It's a little concerning.
Just in the back of our heads, this, like through all of these like updates and everything.
Definitely. All right. My high this week is the Queen's got jokes. So I stan a queen who can joke about herself and this amazing statue that's in Australia. So last week, the Queen zoomed with the Governor and Premier of South Australia and a sculptor who unveiled a new statue of Her Majesty at Government House in Adelaide, South Australia. They said it's the most popular site to take photographs, and then they presented the Queen with this little miniature statue of herself, and she's so funny with her quips and wit and everything about it, so I wanted to play that little clip.
Good morning. Well, that's good morning to me. I don't know what time of day it is to you. Yes, I would think possibly it might be quite alarming to just suddenly see it out of the window. this is the sculptor.
I'd love to present this maquette to you.
Oh.
It'd be a great honour for me to present it. This is the preliminary maquette I make before the final life-size statue.
Oh, that's very kind. I'm glad it's not quite as big as the original statue.
Indeed.
I just love that she's like, it would be quite alarming to look out your window and see me and think, oh, she's arrived. Like, she just cracks me up.
She's hilarious.
I feel like I have to say my other high is just how ridiculously good Harry looked doing an obstacle course. I'm still not over it. And he didn't get any mud on his shirt.
That was a great
moment. We didn't talk about that. Now I'm regretting it, but it's fine.
Oh my gosh. I know. That was a feat. I was really impressed by that.
And the way he encouraged James Corden, like he was like, I feel like I'm
total
arching
dad.
And cheering me on, but he was so kind about it. He was like not like competitive in a mean way at all. It was my heart melts. Okay,
and we
sorry.
Go back to the beginning. No, just kidding. all right. Well, my high of the week was also the surprise Archewell website revamp this weekend. The preview of what's to come, I don't know, but the Sussexes had a total makeover for International Women's Day, which is coming up on March 8th, and they had a fully baked action plan for how to support the women in your life and community. And I think that the high for me was just how specific everything was, because every tip you could click straight through to donate. You know, it was like, donate to the Loveland Foundation and cover the cost of a therapy session for Black women. Borrow your they had a template that someone drafted, maybe Megan, maybe Harry, for how to drop a note for your neighbor. It was like you could just checking in on people. I really liked that it was so exacting in how you can help, because I think that that's a lot of times what I need. Everything is moving a million miles a minute. And so I think if this is a preview of what's to come, it's really, really exciting.
I agree. And there's even a little option. I think you can print out every single item so that it's a checklist. And they recommended hanging it on your fridge and going through during, you know, International Women's Month and checking off everything. So I think that was really lovely.
Yeah. I love that one of the action items was ask a friend, are you okay? A nod to that Tom Bradby interview.
That's nice. All right. Just a reminder before we close, leave us a royal rating on Apple Podcasts. This rating is titled Positivity is Contagious. First, I love their voices. I enjoy their fun, friendly attitudes. They don't tear people down. Thank you.
That's so nice.
Our goal, I think, is to, kindness first and
making positivity louder.
Yes, exactly. All right, remember to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Royally Obsessed Podcast. You can also follow us personally. I'm at Robbie Frito.
And I'm at RKBNYC.
You can drop us an email at info@gallerypodcasts.com. Until next week, God save the pod.
Her Majesties of Royally Obsessed have retired for this episode. God save the pod. And if you fancy the podcast, give Royally Obsessed the royal rating of 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Instagram at Royally Obsessed Podcast and join our Facebook group, Royally Obsessed. Royally Obsessed is a Gallery Podcast production.